Good morning.
Good morning.
Pastor Basil, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for welcoming us here. On behalf of the Lutheran Bible translators, missionaries and staff from Concordia, Missouri, and our missionaries all over the world, I bring you greetings in the name of Jesus our Lord and Savior. And as you heard from a very good narrative and the summary of the sermon, and my role here is just to say amen. Well done. I'm humbled to be here as a forgiven sinner. I'm humbled to be here because that Christ, who has forgiven our sins, brought us under this roof to confess him and share our faith. This morning when we drove down here with Bob and Merlin, my host, every time I come to Denver in the Colorado area, I stay at the Mullings Hotel. And we're talking about the expansion of towns, cities, and buildings, and farm. And you can imagine, you could see this every week, every month. At the same time also, the shrinking of our Christian churches. That's a kind of dynamic we are in. And here we find also this wonderful passage from Genesis and from the epistle and the gospel. Jesus gave that wonderful lesson about the master and the servant and the fellow who owed 10 dinars but choked by someone who was forgiven. Dear beloved, forgiven to forgive. As the Lord forgive us, we are called to forgive. It's easy to say that, but it is tough to apply. When I was a student at seminary, I read this book, Caring Enough to Forgive. In the back of the book, it said, caring enough not to forgive. I looked out, just what does it mean? Caring enough to forgive, I get it. How about caring enough not to forgive? Then I bought the book and started reading, and it tells you the process and the role of forgiveness. But forgiveness when it comes from God himself, a forgiving God, a merciful God, a caring and loving God, a seeking out God, the God we believe in, we worship, the Father, the merciful God who has sent his only begotten Son to die on our behalf. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That is the meaning. Forgiveness is not easy. And a matter of fact, it is not in your account. In human account, we have a payback, retribution, anger, rage, hate. But in God's account, we have mercy, we have care, we have love. That's exactly how Luther explained it, the sweet swap. We have a huge burden, a mountain of debt, but we swap it with God's forgiveness. The story is amazing. If I just used the illustration and the story around Joseph's story, it's amazing. It began with that small, which Pastor mentioned it, he really got under the skin of his brothers. But in a way, they understood it enviously, in a jealous way. He stood up and he shared with them about the dream. Hey, my brothers, you know, we're like collecting, harvesting, and we're binding up the sheaves. And it happened. My sheaf was standing straight upright, and your sheaves were just bowing down to it. And the brother said, here we go again. Because they knew their father, Jacob, made a wonderful and beautiful coat for Joseph that made them already angry. Who is he to have such special treat, special coat? Israel loved Joseph because he was not only just the son, but he was the last son. And God gave him in old age, and to say like a miracle son. Sometimes when you are a parent, you have some kind of affection to the last child. Just simply because that's the last one. And sometimes when you even write your will, sometimes you tempted just, there's a small one, and they still have life, they still have something to pay, and you apportion it, everything according to that passion. Joseph didn't know this. He brought even his dream again to add another problem on himself. And the brothers were very unhappy. And they felt, you know what? If we don't take care of this guy, he's going to take over everything. So the best way is, of course, to get rid of him, to sell him out, to remove him. They thought through that they have success and joy, but that is not the case. Dear beloved, to forgive others, we must know our place first. And those same people who sold Joseph, who they thought was almost done or dead, and made a story, and at one point when they found out their dad is to die, almost dying and dead, literally, and they made up some kind of story again. You know what? Let's go back to Joseph. And we tell him this. Your father, before he died, he told us to forgive us. This is the second problem again. Lying. They sold him. They killed him. They reported all that story. Now all of a sudden, when they found out there is no other hope, other option, they come back and regroup, and they came with that same mindset, and they came kind of passionately as if they were good brothers. Good brothers. You know how your father loves you. You know how he cares for you. You know how he was always talking about you. But you know what he said? If there is nothing, he said, to forgive us. Oh, Joseph said, who put me in God's place? To forgive one, we need to know our place. We can't forgive because we can't. It is not in our account. It is not in our nature. In our nature is always to pay back. That's how the world teaches us. But in God's account, always to forgive and to cover the pain and to help and mend and care and bring forth and give life and move on. We can't do it by ourselves. To forgive others, we must take our proper place. And we must allow God to work in us and through us. And God to be the judge. And God, He is the only one who sits on that high mercy seat. That's exactly what the epistle was saying today. We cannot just judge because we know it. But God is the judge. And we must humble ourselves. And we must go through that. I'm convinced that one reason why Joseph forgave his brothers is that he always remembered that he had no claim against God. Our friends, our families, our brothers may mistreated us, abused us, the system, the family, but God would never ever do that. God is a caring and loving God. And Joseph knew, no matter how severe he was treated, he allowed God to be the judge. And this was a guy who was even falsely alleged by Potiphar's wife. And he was thrown into dungeon. And the guy who he had made mercy, he thought he's going to give him favor, even forgot him. And everyone closed their eyes on him. Just like Jesus on the cross. Abba, Abba, why did you forsake me? The beauty of that message for us today is here. We must humble ourselves. The Bible declares that God is the sovereign God. God is an omniscient God. God is an omnipresent God. God knows everything. Because of that, God works all things after the counsel of His will. And nothing, including the evil deeds of wicked men, can thwart God's plan. It was God's plan for Joseph to be sold. Why? Because through that plan, God redeemed Egypt. Through that plan, God redeemed Israel. Through that plan, God redeemed even the enemies. We are enemies of the cross. Through that God plan, God crucifying Christ on the cross, ransomed us and made us His own so that we'd be forgiven to forgive others. It overflows. It shares to others. We must believe that God is good in all times. Dear beloved, to forgive others, of course, we need to express that attitude, that humble spirit. And forgiveness doesn't come from us. But forgiveness comes from God, who forgives us first. Yes, we don't use our energy and power, our intellect, our bitterness. Joseph would have done the same. He could have said, hey, remember what you did to me? I would never forget that. But you know what? It's not fun. Now you tell me you are asking me for forgiveness. Just remember what you did to me. He would have said that. Joseph just took that in him. And he said, who am I to stand and block your mercy and your forgiveness? I'm not God. I'm here just to share that goodness. Well,
Pastor Basil made that clear.
Our Lutheran Bible translators and Bible translation agencies, they get this very word out, the story of Joseph and others, to millions of people out there. Let me give you one example. What a missionary encounter. He went to Papua New Guinea as a young man from the Midwest, just a young American, to solve the problem in the world. Then he ended up in the mountain among the Aborigines, and then they walked him around and they were making him feel at home. Then he went in one of the houses where the paramount chief lives, and he saw so many sticks stuck on the wall. And he asked him, "What is this for?" The elderly man told him, "Young man, you ask too much. You better not ask this." And this missionary felt, "Why not?" "Then I'll tell you later." Then finally, after they walked him around, he thought that's like a home decor in that part of the world. And the elderly man said, "Young man, come here. You see this big stick stuck on the wall? That's what my great-great-grandfather did. Do you see this one? That's my grandfather. This is my father, and this is me. And the whole wall is full of stick. What is that?" And the elderly man told the missionary, "This is a reminder." "A reminder of what?" "My great-grandfather, he did that because somebody offended him. And my grandpa did the same, my father did the same, I do the same. Until we invent, we'll not take that out. By the time when we go and kill that tribe or revenge, we pull that stick out of the wall." That was shocking. How many years would that have taken? Well, that's how it worked in that tribe. Then he started learning their language. Do you know this? There was no single word for forgiveness in their language. Forgiveness doesn't exist at all. Then he asked them, "What is forgiveness?" They replied to him, "What is forgiveness? If somebody offends you, what do? Oh, you pay back." Then, "Can't you just forgive him? Just say, let it go." Then the whole tribe laugh at him. "If you do that, then you are weak. You are not retaliating, you are not paying back, you are weak." Then the missionary took that and he said, "Christ became weak on our behalf, died on the cross while he was God. He died on the cross on our behalf and forgave. And Christ took care of all this. You don't need to be reminded that he's already paid, paid in full." And the tribal man said, "Whoa, this is a relief. If there is such a religion, it must be from God, because we can't take care of that business." He bridged the gap, connected the word of forgiveness. It is hard to forgive, even in the Christian church, even in our Lutheran circle, even in our Missouri Synod. Come on. We just had a convention. Awful. Hard. Sometimes in a congregation. Sometimes in a house. In a family. It is hard to forgive. Another example I would like to share with you. When I was a young man in Ethiopia, at the age of 18, the communists were beating us up like donkeys. They really, really treated us like subhuman. Without any reason, they could just arrest us and interrogate us, torture us, sometimes kill. Just because we hold the Bible in public. That was the sin we committed. Then God breathed his life on that land. Then communism collapsed in the entire globe back then, in 92, 93, you remember? Then the Ethiopian communism collapsed. Then all those cadres, tough people that we scared them like devil, they came and sat in the church like this. I was just coming out to read the text and I saw a couple of them. I couldn't believe my eyes because those are the people who tortured me. And I said, no way. What do they do here? And the Holy Spirit nudged me and I'm a forgiven sin. They need Christ too. They are forgiven. And it took me a while to accept that. Hard to say you are forgiven. Hard to say to leave that. But the good news we have is here. It is not up to us or about us, but God reconciling the world in Christ Jesus, connecting us through his Holy Spirit, renew us, refresh us, and brings us to that healing, that mending, that forgiveness, regardless who we are. It doesn't matter when we came to the field. He forgives us. Dear beloved, you are here today to receive that forgiveness. That same Christ who cried and died on the cross on that day on behalf of you and I, coming to us embedded within under that bread and wine, saying to you, come unto me. I will give you rest. Forgiveness is rest. A forgiven person is he the one rested. Knowing God, a forgiving God, gives us that rest. So with that in mind, I would like to encourage you and ask you, if there is anyone who offended you, anyone, you don't remind the offender and don't sit on that pain. Don't try to cover up. Don't try to make it rosy, but speak the truth in love, just the way Joseph did. He could have said, oh, it's no big deal. Glad you are here. I forgive you, but I have my knife under beneath. He didn't do that. He let it go. And the last word I would say, go and check this. Genesis chapter 45, verse 24. Joseph told his brothers, okay, I forgive you because I'm not God. And I'm here because God has planned this for you. But you know one thing he told them? On your way back, don't what? Quarrel. After he gave them all the bounty, all the blessings, packed up, and the donkeys are loaded, the horses are loaded, plenty food for them and the little ones, the little ones and the family. But he still reminded them one thing. Don't quarrel. Especially when you are on the way back home. Beloved, we are on the way back home. Heaven. Don't quarrel. Don't fight, but forgive. May God bless his word for us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let the church say amen.
Amen.